to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
On the Paracast, we're talking about the various creatures and sightings that Lyle Blackburn's reported. One thing that bothers me when I read about these stories, not that there is not a possibility they're true, they certainly sound mysterious, but it's generally one creature. We have a lizard man. Where's the lizard woman? Where's the lizard kids? Why is it generally just one? Most of the time, it's a singular creature.
Yeah, that's true, and that's certainly something that doesn't bode well for the credibility of these creatures. You know, in a case like the lizard man, you know, there aren't just a heck of a lot of sightings. So it's possible that, you know, what people saw just what was an adult male, if it's a real creature. You start widening, you know, the investigations. If you're looking at Bigfoot, I do get a lot of reports where people have seen multiple creatures or a baby one or this and that. So I'm not sure in the case of the lizard man, you know, if it was a family or why it was just one creature. But, you know, that's always the case where it's this solitary, strange entity and people see it and it's gone. It's hard to know why that is, you know.
Well, you think if they're real, this is the hunter. The man, the male of the species, is the hunter-gatherer, and maybe somewhere in the forest, somewhere near the lake or whatever it is, you have the female and the kids being shielded from outsiders. Just wondering, just trying to answer this.
Sure, yeah. I mean, that's true. I mean, a lot of times you'll see a solitary bear or a solitary cougar, you know, the male hunting and things. And whereas the mother and babies are definitely going to stay, you know, more concealed, you know, and away from highways and roads and people and things. So, you know, there's ways you can look at it to sort of support it either way.
Now, in your book, you mentioned that some of these sightings feature descriptions of what I guess would sound more like a skunk ape, but there seems to be some kind of crossover between a reptilian type form versus something that's more of a hominid or like a skunk ape type form. Why don't you go in and sort of address that particular issue, which you do in your book?
Right. Yeah, that was one thing that I learned as I really started looking into the case. I mean, most of the time, if you read about this in a cryptozoology book or on the internet, you know, primarily they talk about the Christopher Davis sighting. They talk about, you know, as in terms of reptilian aspects and traits. You know, it is called the lizard man. So that leads your mind to a certain general image you have when you hear that name. But as I looked into this, I found that the media had portrayed it as sort of this, you know, more outlandish creature from the Black Lagoon meets alligator man type thing. The witnesses described something more shadowy. You know, it was humanoid. They weren't sure sometimes it was green or brown. And then some of the witnesses who got a, you know, presumably a closer look, usually in the headlight, said they thought it had hair and it looked like a Bigfoot. So that, you know, that leads to possibilities and theories that perhaps, you know, this wasn't maybe a reptilian, or perhaps people saw two different creatures. You know, perhaps, you know, Christopher Davis saw a Bigfoot who had come up out of Skateboard Swamp and it was wet, or it had a hair conditioner, it was mangy, or, you know, any number of things. The pilot, Frank Mitchell, the crop duster, said he thought it walked very monkey-like. Its arms were long. He said it was kind of loping over. He said, you know, in his opinion, it looked somewhat primate. And he saw it in daylight, although he was, you know, taking off in the plane. You know, I started to think, well, you know, maybe reptilian humanoid isn't the only possibility. You know, and I laid out the sightings that would support that. And of course, you know, in my book, I just try to bring it all forward and let's take a look at it, you know, not to say that it wasn't two different creatures, one of them reptilian, one of them, you know, being a skunk ape or what have you. But certainly opens the possibilities and, you know, adds more pieces to the puzzle.
Well, for people who aren't as well-versed in this particular subject matter and who have maybe a peripheral interest, South Carolina doesn't come up on the radar as a place where you normally equate Bigfoot sightings or these strange kind of cryptoid creatures. In researching the state, especially around this particular area, is there some sort of history of Bigfoot-type sightings, other creature sightings? Can you give us a sense of the kind of local folklore, urban legends that may come into play here a little bit?
Yeah, certainly. And that was one of the things as I, begin to look at the witness descriptions that described it in terms of a hairy hominid or humanoid or whatever. And let me note that these witness statements were very precise because in this case, there was actual police documentation. People had reported seeing something and the sheriff had the wherewithal to make them come in. He separated people and had them write down what they saw. So I have that written documentation, which was made days after their sighting. So I'm quite sure they didn't change their story over the years or anything like that. They did describe something they thought had hair. So as I looked into the possibility of, are there Bigfoots living in the area that could have been confused as a lizard man, I did find that there are Bigfoot sightings in South Carolina. It's not one of the most prominent states where you have things like that, but I talked to one of my colleagues out there, Mike Richburg, who had, done more research into that, and he had quite a few sightings that he had investigated of Bigfoot-like creatures. There's also some other more legend-type creatures. There's one called the Hide Behind, which is sort of a primate-like creature that often seen hiding behind trees. Sometimes it's said to be more monkey-like or even have three toes. So, that's an interesting thing, and certainly a creature that, is by all, accounts more primate, but still maybe not a Bigfoot. So, there's definitely Bigfoot sightings out there, and if it's one of those things where you start digging into it, you go to the area, you start talking to colleagues that have lived there all their lives, sure enough, you start turning up a whole bunch of supporting backlog of creature sightings that you can bring forth when you're investigating the case.
Well, you mentioned an interesting kind of detail, which I find intriguing, and that is three toes. Now, in the book, you show a photograph of what is alleged to be a track, which is very obvious to have three toes, and also a photograph of a cast that was taken of tracks. Why don't you address, before we go to break, physical evidence and the analysis of some of this trackway evidence?
Well, it's interesting that a lot of these swamp creatures in cryptozoology are said to have three toes. And when footprints are found, in these areas, even the creature, the Honey Island Swamp Monster, it has three toes. And the lizard man follows suit with that. At the time during 1988, the police actually came across a set of tracks that had been left in a dirt road near Browntown Road. And they were curious three-toed tracks. And, these are alleged to be the tracks of the lizard man. And this is, some solid evidence. However, when I looked at those tracks, they just don't add up. And these have been featured on a few different television shows. Josh Gates investigated this thing on Destination Truth. And, we have all basically come to the conclusion that these tracks are dubious at best. However, that being said, my colleague Mike Richburg said he actually has found some tracks around that time period that he believed were three toes. So while the most famous lizard man tracks have a dubious origin, there were some other reports that kind of support this three-toed thing. And so, short of having a body of one of these things to actually verify the number of toes, you just sort of have to start making guesses. Is this a natural form that they take? Is this due to inbreeding? Is it a deformity? Just why would they have three toes? Because most upright, all upright animals would have, five, primate, so forth.
We got more coming with Lyle Blackburn with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Yeah.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Creatures, creature sightings. I don't know that I'd ever want to be around one of those places. I know Chris gets into those parts too. Lyle Blackburn, have you personally seen anything weird?
No, unfortunately, I've never had a visual sighting that I could definitively say is a unknown creature. So, you know, I'm still like many people, just looking for that lucky chance or what have you. So far, I haven't.
what kind of equipment do you bring with you when you do these explorations? Are you prepared in case you do see something?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a big gearhead, but I do carry a good quality camera, usually an audio recording device. The more money you have, the more of this fancy equipment has become available. You know, thermal imaging, I think, is a great, great thing. I used to own a night vision binoculars, but those are, fairly limited to, a shorter distance and, hard to see. If you're traipsing through a swamp, hard to be looking through that. So, while technology gives us some advantages, it still is a limit, because you've got to actually see the creature and see it within a fairly short distance, even to see it through night vision and things like that, whereas thermal imaging would give you a longer range of view. So I carry just a minimal amount of equipment, I would say.
Well, the tape recorder is real important. Obviously, a lot of this information, the vast majority of it, is going to be anecdotal in nature, interviewing witnesses. One of the things that strikes me about this particular outbreak in South Carolina is that the quality of witnesses is fairly high, and we also have two cases that feature physical evidence of damage to vehicles. Now, we talked about the Y family. Let's talk about the other case that featured, some pretty significant damage to a car.
Yeah, that's another interesting aspect to the case. There were two other incidents, one in 2008 and one in 2011, I believe, in which people in the vicinity of Scape Boar Swamp reported this same type of vehicular vandalism that appeared to have been perpetrated by an animal. And so when it happened in 2008, sort of since 1988, that was like the 20th year anniversary, of the lizard man sighting. So that was interesting. And the police did investigate that and felt that the people, had a legitimate claim. They weren't trying to seek publicity or anything else. It just something happened to their car. Now, of course, fast forward to 2008, we have a lot more technology on our side. They were able to run some DNA on that and determine that it was canine. And so while the police actually weren't even sold on that result, perhaps, dogs did it.
That's got to be an angry pack of dogs, boy, to do that kind of damage.
Yeah. I mean, it is just crazy just to think that, that would be a dog. But with these car cases, they were all so circumstantial. I mean, nobody ever saw the lizard man and then saw it damage a car. So it was just a thin connection between the two, but definitely something weird that plays into the whole case, that this keeps happening down there in the same area, no matter who's doing it, whether it's a dog or a lizard man. It just adds up to be a lot of weird stuff going on in this area.
Well, speaking of that, we have a number of questions from listeners who are able to post questions for our guests at forum.theparacast.com. And a new member who signed up on Monday with the hashtag Team Sheepsquatch Gnome, shall we say, has a couple of questions. And the first one is, in the case of the lizard man, how many credible witnesses did you speak with? And from what he understands, these sightings occur all over Lee County. And he says, I have read probably 25 reports from people that definitely had some kind of experience. How widespread is this? And is it just exclusively focused on the swamp area there, or are there cases outside of that area?
Well, I'm not sure where he's getting these. I mean, I've spent considerable amount of time tracing down different witnesses, and there were some reports, in the greater area of Lee County that occurred much later, and a lot of these were found by the police to be very sketchy. I mean, one lady was very well known to be kind of crazy, and these were connected to UFO reports and other things like that. So in my case, I focused in on the history of the Bishopville lizard man and what seemed to be that creature. Now, a lot of the witnesses have passed away. I spoke to Frank Mitchell. I spoke to one other that didn't want to be included in the book, but just verified what had been written in his original witness report, which I had on file with the police. And in another case, like I said, again, I had these written witness reports that had been done within days of seeing the creature that I could refer to, which was great. Because, again, I'm not interviewing somebody 40 years later. I'm looking at what they had seen and their reactions at that very time when it was fresh on their mind. So that was a benefit. So, unfortunately, with so many of them having passed on, I could refer to the Sheriff Liston Truesdale, who was the one who actually interviewed these people when it happened. And, of course, having him consulting with me as I investigated was a great benefit, and he could help me sort out, you know, just what was true and about the case, and fill in the gaps where a lot of the witnesses had passed on.
Yeah, I find that local law enforcement, if they're willing to even get involved publicly, if they're intrigued enough, they tend to be real. Really good sources of information, and I think very credible, because obviously they have an elected position that you know, makes them cautious and conservative in one sense. But if they feel that there's something to an outbreak of events and they're willing to work with investigators, I find that very, very advantageous. Now, teams. Sheep Squatch, interesting name, has a second question. We don't have much time before the break, but let me pose it. Christopher Davis supposedly found a shed, and he says similar to snakeskin. I'm not sure about that. But evidently, Davis found this several years after his initial sighting. Do you have any info on this, and do you believe that this shed even exists?
Yeah, that's just not true at all. I don't know. I'm not sure where he got that particular information, but he's partially confusing the story, which involves this building called the Butterbean Shed, in which was nearby to where his incident occurred. And There's a long story about this whole Davis incident and the fact that a local farmer at first said he was the one, and he was trying to scare off kids away from his shed, and then he said he didn't.
Let's pause here and continue that answer, explaining what this local farmer did. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
A little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations, or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. but this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The patriots at utopiasilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from utopiasilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit utopiasilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the patriots at utopiasilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. utopiasilver.com.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
We have Gene and Chris the Lizard Person talking to Lyle Blackburn, and you were just defining an answer to one of Chris's questions. Lyle, go ahead, please.
So, yes, there was a butter bean shed, and this involved a farmer which lived nearby where Christopher Davis said the incident occurred. And I find this a lot of times, that you see a lot of stuff on the Internet and things that have just sort of twisted and turned, and the story becomes completely incorrect, you know, such as Christopher Davis finding lizard skins and things. That just never happened. But again, they do sort of, I can see where they've rooted in something that was real, such as the butterbean shed, and then just sort of morphed into something else. So the short answer is that never happened. Christopher Davis never had any other experience with the lizard man. In fact, he tried to distance himself as much as he could because it kind of messed up the kid's life. I mean, he didn't, you know, from then on out, he's known as, you know, the kid who saw the lizard man, and it kind of haunted him. You know, a lot of people just never believed him, you know, and people wanted to keep asking questions. So he ended up having to move away and didn't want anything to do with it. It kind of affected his, the rest of his life. So he wasn't out there looking in sheds or looking for evidence of the lizard man or anything like that. Just never happened.
You mentioned the rest of his life. Christopher Davis met a violent end, and other people associated with the case died in kind of interesting to note ways. Why don't you describe some of those?
Yeah, that was something I discovered as I was doing the research, that, you know, there was something that, you know, could be a curse of the lizard man, so to speak. Christopher Davis, namely, who was actually murdered in his house years later. Unfortunately, he had started out as a very good young man and interested in sports and excelled in high school and just an average kid. But later on, he got involved in drugs and things like that, which ended up getting him killed literally right in front of his family, which was just nuts. And I talked to Sheriff Truesdale about that, and he definitely thought that, you know, the result of him seeing the lizard man, the result of all the media press that had gone on about it and having to deal with that the rest of his life, you know, could be a factor as to why he sort of got off the path. Now, some of the other witnesses, this young man who had seen it with his family, the Blythers family, in 1990, he was killed in a car accident later. Original witness, George Plyler, he died, but not really of strange circumstances or anything. The colonel is dead, and there was actually more stuff to his story, which I was not allowed to print in the book. I really wish I could, because there was some really, really weird stuff that went on there, and the family did not want that printed. So I could not totally expound on his incident, but suffice to say that at least half of the witnesses that had reported seeing the lizard man met with an untimely end and or some bizarre circumstances that followed them after death.
All right, let's clarify here. This is something that happens after they met up with the creature, but not something the creature might have done directly.
Correct.
Oh, well, I don't want to meet one of those.
I mean, Christopher Davis being, shot.
We hardly think a creature did that.
Right. One of the young Blyther boy was killed in a car accident. George Plyler, conceivably died of natural circumstances. The colonel, there was some, I wouldn't say foul play, but some shenanigans that went on there that... But I don't think we're a result of the lizard man directly in any way. It's not like they touched the lizard man and got a disease or it put a spell on them. It was just, I think it's just simply coincidental. I mean, look at the more famous case of the curse of King Tut. There's no direct link that, these people died as a result of entering, the Pharaoh's tomb. But there's a lot of weird stuff that you can start connecting if you want to connect the dots.
Now, when it comes to UFO sightings, we have in the past mentioned possible premature deaths of some people involved in the field, but we don't want to stretch that too far.
I met a woman in college that, looking back at it, I swear she was a lizard girl, and I touched her, and thank goodness I didn't catch anything.
Well, there you go. I mean... lizard people, we don't know enough about them, apparently, so it's best be wise to keep a distance.
Right. Careful what you wish for. Well, where do you come down here now? You spent a considerable amount of time researching this, interviewing witnesses, the sheriff. What do you think we're dealing with here, Lyle? Is this just a figment of people's imagination that is able to scratch up and tear up cars? Is it something that's manifest at all times in our reality? Is it something possibly dimensional? What do you think? Are we dealing with a cryptoid humanoid creature that's lurking about swamps like Gollum? Searching for garbage and fish and whatever it is that it needs to survive. I mean, what do you think?
It's hard to pick just one because there is just so little information. A lot of it's anecdotal, as you say. My first and foremost objective in these cases is really just to tell the whole story. First, I think they're interesting. They're mysterious, they're creepy, and whether we can solve them or not is not necessarily the point, because I think, obviously we're not going to be able to solve something like this unless we had a body or a much better clear video or something like that. So, it's something that you just have to make some guesses at, and some of those have to do with, what we have here, short of, solid scientific evidence is, just theories and conjecture. And so for me, I'm not one to latch on to a lot of you know, paranormal or supernatural type things. But, you know, certainly when you start dealing with Lizard Man, you know, it's hard to say. But, you know, I think in the case of these witnesses, you can't say that they were hallucinating or anything like that. I think they legitimately saw something. Something happened to them. Now, whether it was a, you know, Lizard Man, you know, it's hard to say, but definitely, and I think Sheriff Truesdale agrees with me on this, that something happened to those people. They saw something that led them to believe that they saw an unknown creature or something mysterious, and that's what they reported. So you can't just completely throw it out as hallucination or people trying to make stuff up. So, you know, given that, we're left with, you know, just what was it? So there's a number of options. You know, it was, you know, a person dressed up trying to perpetrate a hoax, which, again, I don't think it would be possible to do this many number of times, running across in front of cars. It's just not a hoax. You know, it could have been a Bigfoot that was called the Lizard Man. I know, you know, explaining one cryptid with another cryptid to some people is going to sound ridiculous, but I think there are a lot more Bigfoot reports and a lot more substance to that. So, you know, it's possible we saw a swamp dwelling Bigfoot. Or, you know, beyond that, there could be things and creatures that we just simply can't explain or that are unknown to us. And maybe this was an example of that.
So many questions, so many possibilities, but I guess we're not going to even try to figure out what those possibilities are, at least for now. We got more creatures to explore or to avoid in our next segment. Lyle Blackburn joins Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we're exploring the Lizard Man and all sorts of legendary creatures. Or critters with Lyle Blackburn. Chris, you have a question that you'd like to ask.
Well, I want, before we go on to Boggy Creek, which I really want to cover with you because this is one of the more well-known cases in cryptozoology. They made a movie about it. In fact, I think a couple of movies. Before we go on, though, let's talk about the Lizard Man archetype or that symbol within the human sort of experience. You've done some backstory work, I'm sure, researching these types of reports down through history. Do we have any other examples of outbreaks of this type of humanoid form anywhere from else around the world? And then we'll talk about David Icke's claim that lizard people run the world.
You mean they don't?
Well, so you'll never know. See, it's just an endless question, like chasing your lizard tail. So there's never been another outbreak of quote-unquote lizard man sightings that had the substance of the Bishopville case. Now, there's some other fleeting reports around the U.S. of these type creatures. There was an incident that occurred in 1958 in Riverside, California, in which a man claimed he had seen a creature roughly fitting this description run across the road in front of him. It came up out of the Santa Ana River. There is reports of a creature near Thetis Lake in British Columbia that came to be called the Thetis Lake Monster, and it was sort of a diminutive type gnomish reptilian humanoid creature. But there was only two sightings of that, and those were rather dubious at best. We talked about the Loveland Frog, which occurred in Loveland, Ohio, which I don't think relates to this. It's a good story, and there's some, you know, spooky sightings involved with that. Again, no amount of extended investigations or mass sightings ever occurred with that. In Ohio, the Ohio River, there's been a few reports of sort of these creature from the Black Lagoon type creatures, but just not enough sightings or data or footprint casts or anything like that to really compare to the others. You can only just sort of lay out the stories of these and come to the conclusion that, you know, the Bishopville creature is not an isolated case. People have reported seeing, you know, creatures like this throughout the modern U.S. history. So, you know, it's definitely an ongoing mystery.
Well, you bring up U.S. history. How about South America, Asia, any place in Africa where humanoid-looking, bipedal, humanoid reptilian types have been reported? Do we have any body of evidence that suggests that this is a worldwide phenomenon, or is this just something that's exclusively in North America?
Specifically in South America, I did try to look into that because, you know, I kind of talk about our archetype of the movie monster, the creature from the Black Lagoon, swamp thing type, you know, creatures. And in the case of the creature from the Black Lagoon, it was reportedly influenced by a story that the producer had heard about a creature that had lived in South America. And I looked long and hard to find some better information on that. And all I could find was a scant, tale that seemed very much rooted in folklore, sort of a merman type thing that came to the village every so often. And it was very folklore. I mean, as opposed to what you would consider cryptozoology, like sightings and a long history. So that's as far as I could get with that one in South America. I did not look in great detail at the general world, you know, China and other places. So I can't say that there's not sightings of these creatures elsewhere, and I'm sure there are. And I also ruled out things like sightings that corresponded to UFOs, so to where I thought it would be an extraterrestrial type creature. I kept this in the realm of cryptozoology,
right?
Because
there have been a number of claims. Pamela Stonebrook, of course, comes to mind, claiming she had a reptilian lover and he was really good in bed and all that sort of thing.
Kind of slimy, though, don't you think?
Well, we won't get into graphic details on that one, but you should put blinders on in terms of your focus and really look at what appear to be on the surface some sort of cryptozoological reptoidal type form. Well, Boggy Creek. Now, this is something that a lot of people are interested in. We've got a number of questions on our forums about the legend of Boggy Creek. Why don't you give us a quick thumbnail sketch of this particular, I can't really call it a case because it's a lot more involved than that, but give us our first-time listeners maybe who have never heard of Boggy Creek, give them a thumbnail sketch of what we're talking about.
Well, the Boggy Creek Monster, or as it's better known as the Falk Monster, is a creature reportedly seen near the small town of Falk, Arkansas, which is in southwest Arkansas, just across the border from Texas. This creature basically became publicly known in the early 1970s when sightings were recounted in the Texarkana Gazette newspaper. That led to a film director by the name of Charles Pierce coming down there and making a film called The Legend of Boggy Creek. And that movie was released in 1972 and became hugely successful in the 1970s, went on to play in the movie theaters and drive-ins and on TV all throughout the 70s, made $25 million.
I saw it in high school, actually, although I was otherwise engaged in the front seat. I didn't see much of the movie.
Tell us more, Chris. No, I'm not going to ask you to do that. The point being also that amount of money for a movie doesn't sound like much today. I mean, if a movie only makes $25 million the first weekend, it's considered a possible failure. But this is a long time ago.
Sure, and considering he only spent $160,000 to make it. But, you know, point being that this made the Falk Monster quite famous, and The Legend of Boggy Creek is a movie that, you know, people of a certain age all pretty much remember. I mean, countless people come up to me at book signing and say, oh, man, I saw that as a kid. It scared the crap out of me or whatever, so, you know, they say about it. But, you know, it's quite famous. So, you know, there. Behind all of this, and the tagline of the movie was a true story, it was based on real reports by real people that were dramatized in the movie. And as someone who saw it when I was a little kid in the drive-in, you know, I always remembered it. I loved the movie. Obviously, I always, you know, loved Bigfoot, so this was something that was more close to my hometown. As an adult and doing this kind of work, I wanted to look into it and sort out just what was true about it. How far back did the sightings of the creature go? Is it still sighted today? And that's the exploration I go through in my book.
Give us a kind of a blow-by-blow description. Who saw it first? What was the most celebrated sighting? Give us a description of the creature. Give us a little bit of background on, you know, what kind of terrain that we're talking about here in Arkansas. Kind of set the stage a little bit here and give our first-time listeners something that they can kind of grab a hold of.
Well, the creature is generally described as being about 7 feet tall. It's covered in hair. The hair color, you know, ranges from black to brown. Generally described as having longish hair, kind of a southern Sasquatch type description. It's often associated with having a foul odor, not unlike the skunk ape, and, you know, is described as having ape-like features, but walking upright on two legs like a man. So again, it's basically a Bigfoot type creature that lives in Arkansas. And the area where it is seen in Falk, you know, backs up to the Sulphur River bottoms. And that is a very remote and swampy bottomland area that even today is something where a lot of people don't settle. There's a lot of area there where large animals could remain elusive. The most celebrated sighting occurred in 1971.
We'll go back to 1971, back through time, back in our time machine in a moment. We have Lyle Blackburn. We're exploring the beast of Boggy Creek. I almost feel it's right beside me right now. No, 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 that's my dog, and he's white, and he's small and cute. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95, on sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.